us. We thank you for this time, O God. We thank you for your presence here. We thank you, Lord, for the information that's going to be shared, Father. We thank you that all that have come, that they will get all the necessary tools and resources they need to establish a prayer ministry in their church or within their ministry, Father. We thank you for insight and understanding coming forth. We just thank you, Lord, for just pouring out and just giving wisdom, knowledge, and insight on establishing a prayer ministry, the importance of a prayer ministry, and how to operate it, Lord. We just thank you, Father, for showing us your way. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Well, welcome. Welcome to How to Establish a Prayer Ministry in Your Local Church. My name is Shalita Williams. I am the prayer ministry coordinator here at Living Word Christian Center. And we want to just talk about how to do that. How do you set up a prayer ministry, or even how to take the prayer ministry that you have to the next level? You may have already established a prayer ministry, and there may be other things that you want to do. You may want to advance to the next level. And so hopefully the materials that's shared in this workshop will help you. How many pastors do we have today in this workshop? Okay. How many prayer ministry leaders, prayer ministry coordinators? Okay, good, good, good. Great, great. Well, we'll have Q&A at the end, so I just want to let you know to hold your questions until the end. But we're going to talk about today how to mobilize, how to organize, how to motivate believers in your church, in your ministry, to make that church a house of prayer. And we want to talk about how does a church become filled to overflowing with the Spirit of God? How do the signs, the wonders, and the miracles happen in your church? How is that corporate intimacy developed in the church? Those are things that you want as a leader in your church. You want the power of God flowing. You want manifestation. You want people coming and just drawing near to God and for just an outpouring of God's Spirit upon everybody in that place, right? Don't we all want that? Yeah. We want to come to church. We want to experience the power of God. We want to experience His, you know, just Him, have that intimacy with Him. So if people come into your church and they observe your church, if an outsider came in, would prayer immediately be visible in your church? That's something we want to ask ourselves. And want to focus today on not necessarily the prayer ministry and the ministry being like another program in the church, but making your church a prayer-saturated church where all are involved, right? Not just the prayer ministry or the prayer ministry leader doing all the praying, but the whole congregation is involved in coming near to God. And so a prayer-saturated church involves everybody. It saturates every aspect of the individual life, of the member's life, and of the corporate church life. Communication with the Father, that's the life flow of the church, of the ministry. Everybody sees prayer as a priority in the church. In a house of prayer, you know, Jesus said, "This my house is called a house of prayer." You know, he didn't say a house of worship or a house of evangelism. You know, that's still important, but he said it's a house of prayer. And so we want to model that. That's what we want our church houses to be, or that temple there is a house of prayer. It's a place where people are talking to God, listening to God. The worship services, you just sense the presence of God in that place. Even in the corporate meetings or in the informal social gatherings, that people acknowledge God, that God is there. The whole congregation, everybody is involved in a lifestyle of drawing near to God. And so prayer is not just an isolated program of the church, and not just for those people or just those intercessors or those people who like to pray all the time, right? But it's everybody, because everybody is called to have a relationship with God, not just a specific few. Everybody's called to pray. Everybody is supposed to be near to God. And so that's what we want the church to be, the whole church body. A prayer-saturated church is where the corporate prayer meetings, they're given high priority. People come, the members come, and they involve and they engage and they participate. And it's also a priority for the leadership in the church, not just the congregation, but the leadership of the church. And a prayer-saturated church is where God's tangible presence, it fills the church, and out of communion with Him, strategies come forth, plans come forth for your church. The power of God is released to accomplish the mission and the calling and the assignment for your church or for that church. You know, the churches that are established or the that you're in, there is a reason for that. There's a purpose for the church being in that community, in that neighborhood where it's located. There is a purpose put upon that pastor God called to start a church and to pastor a flock of people. And so strategy that from heaven come down and be present there in that community, in that church, right? And the only way to receive that is through communion with God. The plans are in the heart of God. And so prayer connects you with the heart of God to get those things out, to get the strategy out. Like, how are we going to do this? How are we going to accomplish the vision of this church? The Lord told us to set up this youth ministry, set up this shelter, set up this kitchen to feed the homeless. How are we going to do it? Where the resources are going to come from? And so prayer supports that. Your prayer ministry supports the goals of that church. And so why establish a prayer ministry? It's one of the steps toward becoming a house of prayer. And we also must realize that the prayer ministry is a means to an end. It's not the end itself. It's just one of the avenues, one of the ways to get the results that you need in your church. And the prayer leadership, pastors, it's so important that you support the prayer ministry and support the prayer leadership in the prayer ministry, and to allow them to come to you to provide feedback, because I mean God may speak to them as they process the plan of God for that church. And God speaks to the pastor, of course, and the pastor gives the directions to the prayer leadership team, but it's all through prayer. Okay, so where do we start? How do we do this? Where do you start to even establish your church as a house of prayer or to establish the prayer ministry? First, you select a prayer ministry coordinator. You need to select a leader. And the leader should be a member of your church, of course. And this is somebody who schedules, organizes, and provides general leadership over all the church prayer activities. Together with the pastor, the prayer leader gives energy and direction to the church's prayer organization. The coordinator makes sure that prayer is integrated into the total life of the church, not just for just select members or just for those, you know, who are involved in the prayer ministry, but bringing prayer to the congregation. And the pastor should appoint and publicly recognize the prayer ministry coordinator, because this makes it intentional, that you're intentional about mobilizing prayer in your church, and this is important to you, and you want people to recognize that this is the leadership that you have placed over the prayer ministry, and that so that there will be a good order and good structure there. Okay, now some of the myths about the position of a prayer ministry coordinator is that the coordinator is the person who's responsible for praying for all the prayer requests in the church. Just that one person is supposed to do all the praying for everybody. No, that is a misconception. Or that the prayer ministry coordinator is responsible for getting people to the prayer meeting. They're supposed to get people there, get them in there, rally them in. Not saying they're not supposed to encourage people, but that's what they do. They encourage people to pray. They make opportunities for people to pray. They educate people how to pray. But ultimately, it is the work of the Holy Spirit that draws people to the place of prayer. Okay? Now, how do you select a leader? What qualities should you look for in selecting a prayer ministry coordinator? Let me just tell you about how we started here. The pastor and Sister Veronica, when we started, and we were at, when I came to the church in 93, I've been a member of the church since 93, and I've been on staff since 97, but when I came in 93, we were located on Madison Street, not too far from here, which is currently now an administrative office, but we were there maybe 300, 400, 500 members in the church at that time, and Sister Veronica was leading prayer. She was leading the prayer ministry. It was her and him. And so you know about, you know, humble beginnings, or, you know, you're everything. You know, she was praise and worship. Pastor was praise and worship. They were maintenance, you know, everything. And as people came, God added. But she would spend time. She would just pray with people, pray maybe the worship leaders or people who showed faithfulness, people who were had a desire and a hunger for God. And they would pray before the service, pray for the worship service. and she would get to know them and, you know, just by praying with them. And so that's one of the ways to try to find out, like, who this person should be. I mean, the pastor should pray and ask God, you know, lead me to that person, show me who that person is. But even in that, spending time with the person. So if it's not the pastor, maybe the pastor's wife should spend time praying with some of the people in the church. And as you do that, you get to know people by the Spirit, and you get to know their prayer life. You get to see if they're seasoned in prayer. You get to know their commitment level, if they're faithful. And so you want to spend time with this person too. But some of the characteristics to look for, because you can't just go on an outward appearance. Amen. You just can't go on zeal. You just can't go on because they want to or they desire to. You have to know. And it may, you know, on the outward, it may look like, oh, yeah, that's the right person. But God may say no, because God knows the end from the beginning. So you won't want to know that it's the one that God has appointed, because once you put them in there, then it's hard to, like, get them out, you know, if they're not the right person. But when you first start, God will send you someone. And they may not have all the whole package there, but you see the potential that's in them. And so God may say, this, you know, this person. And so you do it, and you will invest time in them, and you will nurture them. But become spiritually acquainted with the person and create opportunities to pray with them, the pastor or the pastor's wife. But some of the qualities to look for is they should have a heart for the pastor, a heart for his family and for the vision of the ministry. They should have a strong, healthy personal prayer life, spiritual maturity. They should have gifts of organization and leadership and encouragement. They should have the ability to speak and to teach. They should feel at ease speaking in front of people, praying in front of people. If they have to teach, because there's training involved in being a prayer leader. You have to train your intercessors. There's continuing education needs to go on. And so if the prayer leader is not gifted in that area of teaching, then it'll be important for you to invite someone into that ministry at that level with that gift of teaching to serve on the leadership team, because training is key to mobilization and mobilizing intercessors. This person should be a team player. They need to get along with people, have a humble spirit, not looking for recognition, not looking to be in a place of leadership or looking to be in an important place. They should have a good reputation with the congregation in their home, with their family, have the confidence of the pastor and other leaders in the church. They should show faithfulness and have the ability to lead prayer. They have to be able to lead prayer, of course, if they're going to be a prayer ministry leader, right? Have a servant's heart, have a teachable spirit. Must have a teachable spirit, because, you know, the pastor may want to go in a different direction than what the prayer ministry coordinator want to go in, and need to be able to submit and be teachable, right? And also have good administrative and communication skills. There are things that you have to do, set up meetings, organize people, set up workshops or seminars, gather written materials, put written things together. And so good administrative skills is also important for this position. And your handout, there's a handout coming on the details of establishing a prayer ministry in your local church. And so in there, it'll list the detailed responsibilities of the coordinator. And I just did a summary for you there. So once you select the prayer ministry coordinator, right, and we went through the responsibilities, again, they will oversee and direct and delegate all the prayer activities. They'll recruit people, train people, mobilize intercessors. They'll coordinate prayer education for the intercessors and for the congregation, just for the prayer ministry members, but continuing prayer education for the congregation in the forms of seminars or workshops, things like that. They will promote the prayer activities throughout the church, and they will meet regularly with their prayer team to get feedback and to give them feedback and to give them prayer directives. So that's just a general summary of the responsibilities. So after you have that person in place, then you want to begin to write the vision and the goals of the prayer ministry and develop, you know, strategy. What do you want to do here? What do you want to do in 2 years, 4 years, 5 years, 10 years from now? What things do you want to accomplish? And so the first thing you want to do is develop a prayer mission statement or vision for the prayer ministry. in harmony with the church mission. Okay? That connects to the church mission. It shouldn't be all off from the vision that the pastor has for the church, that God has given him for the church. It should be in line with that. And then, you know, just put that in a short statement of purpose, and it communicates the vision for ministry. Am I doing something up here that's making this go in and out? And then from there, you want to develop short-term and long-range goals. For example, you may, your short-term goal could be develop a team of personal intercessors to pray for the senior pastor. And your long-term goals could be to develop a video of prayer testimonies. Maybe that's a long-term goal or something like that you want to do 3 years from now. Then from there, after you establish your goals, then your objectives. What are the specific tasks that you're going to do to accomplish that goal? You want to make it realistic and make it measurable, okay? Then after that, develop action plans. What are the specific action steps you're going to take to do that? And then from there, develop job descriptions of key responsibilities of your leadership team. Have job descriptions so people will know what is expected of them. You may have one thing in mind, they have another thing in mind, but if you have it in writing, you go through it, you're on one accord, and that prayer leader, they know what's expected of them, and there's no confusion. And then from there, maybe develop an organizational chart. And this helps people to understand the authority structure and to alleviate any misunderstandings. Now, I have a few here, and you can just pass them around so people can just get an idea of what the org chart would look like for a prayer ministry. And I'm going to give you my card, and I can send you this information if you want it. But just maybe take one, just pass it around so everybody at least can see it. And whatever is left over, then you take that, and we can make sure that you get some more if you need it, okay? But especially I would like the prayer ministry coordinators and the pastors to get one. Those who are established in a church right now, or you're leading a prayer ministry right now, or about to start a prayer ministry right now, okay? So from there, let me just show you the ministry purpose for Living Word. Our purpose or our statement is to provide prayer leadership, strategic prayer direction, and prayer covering for Pastor Winston, for the church, for the body of Christ. We are to pray God's kingdom into manifestation so that the lost will come to Christ, the saints will be perfected and enjoy the benefits of an abundant spirit-filled life, and the powers of darkness will remain subdued under our feet. So that's our purpose for the prayer ministry. And then this is our mission statement, and it's to teach and to train the membership. It's to develop effectiveness in our prayers that get results. It's to motivate the saints to pray, to establish prayer teams to cover the church, to cover the body of Christ, to cover the nations, so the gospel can be preached. It's to help churches establish effective prayer ministries and to fulfill God's decree that his house should be called a house of prayer. So this is just an example for you that you can use as you develop a mission statement for your prayer ministry there at your church. Then after that, after, you know, the prayer leader's selected, they've gone through responsibilities, they have established vision and mission, then it's time to build your prayer leadership team, okay? And so while we were here, again, Sister Veronica, she prayed with us. She held the first intercessory prayer class where she trained the congregation in how to pray. We were in a small room and down in the lower level at the administrative office, probably not more than 25, 30 people. And we prayed. She prayed with us. She taught and she prayed with us. And out of that group developed some leaders out of that group, from the beginning. As she got to know us, as she prayed with us and discovered our gifts and things like that, that's how it happened. So you have to know that the coordinator cannot do it alone. They cannot do the job alone. They need a team. So we want to develop a strong leadership team, and that's critical so that the responsibilities can be shared and that all the giftings that are needed to run the prayer ministry, that it's present. So you want to find and equip others to lead in various areas of the prayer ministry and build a team with a balanced gift mix that will help raise the level of enthusiasm for prayer and the effectiveness of your prayer ministry. So you must pray with them to know them. So the prayer ministry coordinator, people will come to you. They may want to join the prayer ministry, or you may see people. Some people may not even come to you, but you'll just know by the Spirit that you may want to engage them in prayer. you know, they may be a little shy or whatever, but you see something in them. And it's okay, maybe tell them when to come, you know, pray, when to come join, pray for services. And that really, I think that's a good place to start, to have people come and pray for the worship service. You know, come pray for the worship service with us. You meet, you know, before prayer starts, the leader is there. You pray with the people. You get to see how they pray, how they flow. You get to know them, and you'll see God will speak to you and let you know. And just pray for the right people to join the team. And look for the potential in individuals. Again, the whole package, especially when you're first starting the church, you know, people are still coming in, but they have the potential. Okay, and so you'll know by the Spirit. So you want to look for those gifts, especially also gifts to administrate. Look for that, and gifts to lead, and identify their gifts. And also, you know, always, it's not always the ones who are always so zealous to do it and want to be in it. You know, sometimes you got to watch that, because sometimes they may be getting ahead of themselves, or that may not be it. And you want to, you know, check motives and things like that, okay? That's not always true, but sometimes true. So you just want to, you be prayed up and you be in tune with the Holy Ghost, so you'll know. They don't have to tell you, but God will tell you, okay? Right? And so you want to invest time with these people. You want to nurture them and develop their gifts. And so you need prayer leaders over corporate prayer. You need a prayer leader over small prayer groups, a prayer leader over prayer training, over your training and education, or a prayer leader over telephone prayer, if you have a telephone prayer line. And the qualities to look for in your prayer leaders, same thing as the prayer coordinator, somebody of good character, influence, positive attitude, excellent people skills, able to get along with people, somebody people want to follow, okay? Evident gifts. They understand confidentiality, because people may share things about their life that they want prayed for, that they don't want to be spread around the church. And so they have a sense of confidentiality. They are effective communicators. And so you want to pray with them, train them, and reproduce leaders. You want to reproduce leaders, okay? We're just not a one-man show, but reproduce them and spend time with them like Jesus did. He spent time with his disciples teaching them how to pray. Okay, then going on. So once that's in place and you got your leadership team, and so now it's time to recruit people and mobilize people, intercessors, for prayer, people from the congregation. And so you can have a prayer ministry application. We have an application that people have to complete, and it just lists some of the things that are required, like you have to be a member, have to complete the new members class, have to complete the prayer training class, and then there are just standards and a moral lifestyle that you have to live. And, you know, we have these things in writing, you know, that you don't smoke or drink or, you know, you're not shacking. I mean, in so many terms, but just a list of things. And so they sign that application saying, yes, you know, this is true. And, you know, I'm not involved in any of these things, because, you know, you're in prayer. You need, you know, your holy vessels. And so you want to be free of things that will hold back or block the power of prayer from flowing in the church or through you. And so you have to meet some requirements in order to be a part of the prayer ministry. And so for those pastors or prayer ministry leaders, I can send you a copy of that. I'll give you my card at the end if you want of our application. I didn't bring it with me. I do apologize, but just a simple one-pager. But anyway, time to mobilize people. So you want people to plug in. You want the congregation to plug in. You want dedicated people who are going to come and cover the church and pray for various areas of the church, right? Because the pastor can't do it alone. He needs that prayer support. He needs people behind him that's covering him, that's covering the church, that's praying out the goals and the vision for that church. So these things can happen, right? God has called him to something. God has given that pastor an assignment, and he needs help. He needs help in the Spirit to birth that thing out, to birth it out in prayer, right? And so that's what the intercessors are called to do. So you want to make many times, many ways, many places for people to pray, and you want to connect people with things that stir their hearts. You want to try a variety of prayer models that appeal to different people, small group prayer, praying over prayer requests, telephone prayer, praying You can have like even conference call prayer, teleconference, whatever. People may not be able to come to the church, okay? You just dial in this line, everybody's a moderator, and we're just for a topic, something like that. You want to have special workshops. That's a way to recruit people and mobilize people on special interest topics, like how to pray for your spouse, how to pray for your children, or people in business coming to pray together, or something like that. You want to connect people with groups and small groups such as teachers. Like we have an educators prayer group where the educators come and they pray. They pray for the school systems. They pray for their school and any needs or things that are presenting, the issues that are presenting themselves in that particular school that they're in. And so they come together once a week. And these small prayer groups, they meet 1 hour. And, you know, they share, maybe share a scripture, and they pray. The time is spent praying. It's not a time to fellowship and talk and gossip and, not gossip, but, you know, just fellowship and socialize, but it's a time of prayer. And so that's what they do. Also, if you have a prayer room, and I do encourage you to get a prayer room. We were at Madison, limited space. We made a room. We made a prayer room. And if we didn't have a prayer room, we prayed in the kitchen. We prayed by the boiler room. You know, we just made a place to pray. Okay, so don't despise small beginnings. Whatever you have, just do it. Just use it. And you have that time as your prayer place. But if you have a prayer room, you can make that room a part of your new member orientation, and that way it acquaints the new members with prayer right from the front, right from the beginning. They're acquainted with the prayer ministry. Also, you can have an open house prayer training to teach people about any form of prayer intercession and use that time to recruit intercessors. And so enroll people. You want to enroll people and rally people and encourage them to come and join. Now, let's see what prayer ministries could look like. Maybe a just beginning. You're just beginning a prayer ministry, and it could look like this. The leadership is always the pastor, you know, pastor's wife, and the personnel, they're volunteers, part-time volunteer coordinator, and then the prayer activities that would probably occur is you're praying for your pastor and the worship services, you're having daily prayer, you're having weekly small group prayer, and we have small group prayer. We have groups that pray for new believers that come into the church, pray for healing, pray for marriages and family in the church. We have a men's prayer group. It's just men, and they're praying for various areas of the church. And so you have weekly small groups that meet once a week for an hour, and they pray. And then you may have prayer training for intercessors. And then maybe as you expand, you may have an intermediate level prayer ministry that will look like this. Again, the pastor, pastor's wife, they're the leader, provide leadership for you. And then the personnel could be a part-time or full-time paid prayer coordinator plus volunteers. And so you're still doing all those things that you were doing in the just beginning stage. And you maybe have added a prayer room and a library. You have resources in your prayer room for your intercessors. You're providing continuing education for your intercessors and for the congregation. You may have started a telephone prayer line where people can call in for prayer. And, you know, eventually you want that to be a 24-hour prayer line, but start where you are. Right now we have a prayer line. We have people on the phone during the day. But after hours, there's a voicemail. It goes into voicemail, but we call them back within 24 hours and we pray for them. So just start, you know, where you are. Some people want to start 24-hour phone line right now. But if you don't have the manpower to do that yet, just start where you are. 6 hours, 12 hours, whatever it is, and have a nice greeting there to let them know that someone will call them back to pray with them. Also, in the intermediate level, you can have prayer walks, maybe prayer walking around your church, the neighborhood of your church, or something like that. Then as you expand more, you may have an advanced strategic level prayer ministry that looks like this. All of the activities of the beginner and the intermediate level, and also, you may have expanded to church corporate prayer services where you're coming out. It's open to the congregation. It's not just, you know, behind the walls, a group of people praying, but it's corporate prayer before the service where the congregation is invited to come to service, to prayer service. A crisis team, a healing prayer team, 24-hour prayer, church prayer and fasting periods, that you have the whole church fasting and praying, providing a prayer guide for the congregation to use as they're fasting and praying. You're holding prayer conferences and even maybe prayer evangelism, where you're transforming neighborhoods, city transformation happening through your church, okay? So those are just some ways, levels how prayer ministry would look. So for pastors, I want to share that you are the primary initiators of the vision and the motivator of the people. I mean, you preach and you teach, you have the pulpit. And so that's a good place to teach about your church being a house of prayer and to celebrate prayer and to celebrate the prayer events. Pastors, you want to mentor and disciple your prayer leaders. You want to invest in them. They're strengthened because, strengthen them to carry out the vision that you have and mentor them. You want to build a rapport with them, build a relationship with your prayer leaders that motivates them and inspire them, to keep going when they see that you take a real interest in them. Publicly affirm them again and recognize their role in the church. And this signals that prayer is a core value in the church. You want to set regular times to meet with them, to see what's going on in the prayer ministry, to share with them anything that the Lord has given you about, things that they should pray about, and to just evaluate the progress of the ministry. You want to also teach on prayer and from the pulpit and promote those times of prayer and promote the small prayer groups, from the pulpit, because the coordinator, they don't have that platform that you have. And also pray for them and encourage them. Maybe send them a note, a book, a tape, an article on prayer, some source of encouragement. But you play a key role. Another thing for the pastors is the worship service is a good place to incorporate opportunities for people to pray and to praise God and to draw near to God, and you know that. But you are in a unique position to stir up the desire for prayer in the heart of the congregation, and that's what you want, the heart of the congregation to be stirred up for prayer. And so people support what the pastor supports. If they see the pastor supporting it, then they're on board, right? Now, we have corporate prayer all the time. We have corporate prayer on Sunday, Wednesdays, and Saturday for an hour. Saturday morning, Wednesdays before service, and then early Sunday morning. And we had a special night of corporate prayer Friday night. It was packed. I wish it was packed on Sundays and Saturdays and Wednesday, but Pastor was leading that. Pastor was leading it so that shows you people support what the pastor supports. If he's out there, he's doing it, they're going to come, right? So it's important to do that. So pastors, you can share your own personal prayer life. Pastor does that often, just sharing about his own personal prayer life. Preach a sermon on the power of prayer every so often, periodically preach on prayer that stirs people's desire for prayer and their belief that, yeah, prayer works. Encourage the people maybe even to give prayer testimonies. We do that on Wednesday nights if we have time. People give testimonies or even prayer testimonies. You prayed about something, you agreed with something about somebody, and that thing was manifested. Also, sometimes during the service, and a good idea is to how to incorporate prayer in the service, and maybe they can turn to their neighbor, and maybe if your neighbor have a special need, you can pray for them. Or if there's something on the pastor's heart, something about the ministry, a goal or something, everybody, let's just break into small groups and let's just pray about this, this church building or whatever it is. Or let's pray for this nation, or let's pray for our president, or something. That's just a way to encourage prayer in the hearts of the people, to get it stirred up in them from the pulpit. Okay? And then for the prayer ministry coordinator, intercessors, they thrive on information and they thrive on feedback. And so relationship is key to mobilizing prayer. Strong face-to-face interaction and connection is vital. So you want to set in place a system that you regularly bringing together the intercessors for ongoing prayer, ongoing mentoring, ongoing training, okay? And so you want to always connect with them and be there for them. And then we just want to be a house of prayer. A house of prayer where prayer is integrated into all aspects of the church life and the church leaders are involved and there are opportunities for people to come at all levels of their spiritual journey and prayer moves from outside its circle but impacts everybody in the church. And we're preparing and we're mobilizing the whole church to pray. Praise God. Okay, now we do have I don't know what my time is, but we do have, I'm almost done. We have, I just have a handout here, and you can take one, and if we run out, I'll get one to you. I'll give you my card. But make sure the prayer ministry leaders and the pastors get it, and those who are starting a prayer ministry or involved in a prayer ministry get that first. But we do offer intercessory prayer classes here, and that's how we train our people. It's a 10-week prayer class. How many of you have heard about our 10-week prayer training class? It's a 10-week prayer training class, and it just teaches on the basics of prayer. And it involves live teachings, it involves video teachings, it involves the people breaking into groups and praying. And so people get to learn how to pray. And so what we do is ministries call us, and they ask us about our prayer training. And we had a manual that we used. The handouts that we use in the class, we had put it into like a handbook. But we don't use the handbook anymore. We just give out the handouts now. It's more cost effective. And so, but we had these manuals that is just the teachings that we would give to the students. And so I just send it to prayer coordinators or pastors who want to start prayer training in their church, and they can take this and customize it for their church. And so I only have about 6 of them with me. And so if any pastors who are interested in starting prayer training in their church or prayer ministry leaders who are here representing their pastors, I can give that to you so that you can use it. I want to give it to those who are about to start. Now, you want to start, you need training for your intercessors, you need training for your people, and you need just something to go by, just something that this will help you. And you can just customize it for your church. You may not do it the way we do it because we're different, have different assignments, but I think this would be a good starting point for you. Okay? Do we have questions? And do we have anyone to man the mic? Is this going to be on microphone if we have questions? We do have a couple of questions over here.
I know you don't do things in terms of like legalism, but for prayer coordinators, do you prepare ahead of time before you meet with the intercessors and the individual groups? And if so, how much time do you put in terms of prayer?
Okay, so regarding small group prayer, right?
Small groups, and then also when you're training your intercessors, mm-hmm. when you're starting out, mm-hmm. your leadership team.
Do you spend time preparing?
Do you, as the prayer coordinator, how much time do you put in if you're starting out? I mean, what I put in, not, you know, being legalistic, but what I put in, you know, maybe 2 hours or an hour in prayer, or am I building up to something?
It depends on what you're doing in that meeting. You do whatever you need to do and invest the amount of time you need to invest in order to accomplish what you want to accomplish in the meeting. If you're preparing a teaching, you know, it depends on what you're doing. Are you preparing a teaching, then, you know, you got to take the time to invest in the teaching. You got to know what you're talking about. As far as meeting with them, when we, like, hear the prayer ministry meetings that we have when the members come together, it's teaching, it's training. We may watch a teaching on prayer or something like that. So it's up to that individual. It's up to that leader to know how much time they need to invest in preparing for whatever type of meeting you're going to have. So I can't give you a set time, but you just want to be prepared. Does that help you? Or no?
No.
Like, okay. give me a specific example, a specific meeting, type of meeting that you're going to have and what you're going to do in that meeting with the intercessors.
Okay. I'm putting together a prayer ministry now, and I'm asking you, Shalita Williams, what did you, Shalita Williams, do when you initially started? How much time should I, Michelle, invest in my preparation in terms of my actual prayer? Right, for those that I'm supposed to be.
In terms of you being spiritually prepared in your prayer life to share and invest in them?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, there's no set amount of time. I mean, I had a prayer life already before I was assigned leadership over the prayer ministry. Okay. And so if you already have a prayer life, then there's no time is out the door. I mean, that's not even a question. Okay. About, you know, how much time, because you can't really put a set time on it. Yeah, it's just, it's out of, it's your life.
So I don't have to put any, so I don't have to, like, if I already have a prayer time, so I don't have to put in, you know, like when I go to do a different endeavor, I might put in 2 more hours or something like that.
Yeah, don't base it on hours.
Okay.
Don't base it on hours.
Okay.
Base it on how much you know him. Base it on just drawing near to him. You can't put a time on it. You can't, because that is legalism. That makes it legal. That makes it legal for you.
Right.
And you don't want that. If you have a connection with God, you have a relationship with God, and you know you're called to do this, things will flow.
Okay.
It'll flow. It'll flow for you. Okay, we have a question right over here.
First of all, I'd like to know, do you have a correspondence course for your prayer training as an intercessor coordinator? Then I also need to know how to develop a 24-hour prayer network.
Okay. As far as the intercessory prayer class, we do not have a correspondence course available right now. We don't. What we have are these books that I can give you, and this will help you to develop your own prayer training there. The prayer training class, it's on site, it's here. It's not online or anything right now. It's not available. That may be something in the future, maybe, but right now it's just here locally. So this book, it has the teachings, the outlines in there. It has all the articles and things like that. So it is a good resource for you, full of information. When you say a 24-hour prayer network, describe to me what type of network. Are you saying people coming in and praying? You have somebody praying all around the clock on site?
That's what I need. I'm a prayer coordinator for Master's Touch Ministries, Dr. Patricia Bailey Jones. And I need a 24-hour prayer network. And I need someone to help me develop it, please.
Okay, when you say 24-hour prayer network, do you want people to come into a certain place and pray 24 hours? They don't have to necessarily be at a certain place?
Just so she's covered 24 hours.
Right. So you need to mobilize and recruit people
Yes.
who have a heart for the vision, who have a
Yes.
heart for her. And if they are interested in that, then you just got to set up a time frame. You got to give them prayer points, areas to pray for her. And they choose those areas, and it's just like a grid, and you just assign them. If they can pray from home, then that's fine. If they can pray from home, or if they're coming to your ministry to pray, whatever it is, they sign up. It's just like recruiting. And give them that time, and maybe after a period of time, maybe, I don't know, 3-4 months, maybe rotate the time. Maybe somebody was on midnight, now they want to move to the day. Okay. Then that way people don't get burned out and they still stay committed and it's still, you know, something that they want to do. So it's becoming acquainted with people too. You want people praying for her that you know, you know, by the Spirit. And so maybe we can talk more after class.
Thank you.
Yes. But that's just the beginning thing. And any other questions about how to set up a prayer ministry in your church?
Our ministry has been established for 3 years, and the things that Pastor Bill Whiston was teaching on earlier, God has done that, and we're just seeing the results and confirmation. Our resigning apostle set a price on the church he wanted for us, and the man of God said, I don't want anything less, and we got it for exactly what he said. Mm-hmm. And we're going into our new church, which will be April the 1st, and what we would like if we're establishing, and I would love to have one of those booklets. I'm Evangelist Beatrice Allen, and I'm coming for the pastor, and so we're getting things established in the house, and God is preparing that the old will not go into the new, and so that's what I'm here for, and I'm really been blessed.
Okay. So you want this book. That's
yes,
why you
ma'am.
Grab the mic. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
You have a question? Okay. She gonna press in to get her book. You have a question in the front? Any questions? Just want to make sure you answer the questions first before we take any comments, because we have another session. So any pressing questions? Pressing questions?
I guess I was going to ask about the 24-hour you know, live in a place, but I'll just make the question for the prayer minister in general. How do you keep the people motivated?
Right. Through training, through teaching, again, through those things, even the pastor encouraging people, meeting with the people regularly and praying for them, you know, because you have to keep yourself stirred up too, and you got to keep other people stirred up, and then teaching them how to keep themselves stirred up, you know, teaching them how to stay on the wall, teaching them the importance of prayer and the importance of their role and their position, that is not just, you know, just some isolated thing. Because, you know, the prayer ministry is like, it's behind the scenes. It's not in the front. It's not at the forefront. It's behind, you know, the walls. People don't see you all the time. But helping them to understand the importance of what they're doing, that they are a shareholder in this church and in the ministry, and what they're doing, it counts for now and it counts for eternity, and that there is a great reward for it. And so just being an encourager, the prayer ministry coordinator has to be an encourager of the people too. And so, you know, we're still learning, we're still growing here, we haven't arrived, okay? We are still growing, and so it's just staying connected with them, you know, making them feel like, you know, they're valued, you know?
Yeah. How, is there a way that you can use the social media, or just like we saw Pastor last night using the iPad, mm-hmm. is there a way that you incorporate social media or mm-hmm. the internet? For prayer
within the prayer ministry here?
Right, within the prayer ministry, and also to expand, you know, just mm-hmm. because a lot of, just like we have, I'm a member of Living Word.
Yeah.
So just like we have individuals that, I know Pastor doesn't promote us staying at home, but if someone cannot make it in to service, yeah. then we have the 11:15 service as live stream.
Right.
So in terms of prayer, how does the prayer yeah. ministry utilize the internet or any other social media?
That's another phase in the prayer ministry as we grow, because those tools are out there now. Because initially, yeah, we wanted people to come here and pray. That was our focus. You come here and you pray. And so most of the prayer activity is done here in the church. The small prayer groups are in the church. But that's another area that as we expand, that we can look into, how can we use the, you know, technology to, you know, invite other people to connect with people that may not be able to come to church. So that's on the table.
I wanted to say, as she was sharing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
What can you do to encourage the prayer warriors? And my thinking that immediately came to my mind is to let them know what they were praying, the prayer was answered. Mm-hmm. And how, because when you pray, you'll see God move.
Yeah.
And that your praying is not in vain.
Right.
And so I thought that would be very encouraging to get a report. Mm-hmm. Hey, remember what we were praying about? God mm-hmm. moved.
Yeah.
God answered the prayer. So I think that would be something that would be very encouraging to the prayer team.
Right.
That what you're praying, actually, God is answering. He's hearing the cry. I remember times God would have me praying for different ones in the church,
yeah.
but not say anything.
Yeah.
And then when I saw it happen, mm-hmm. they didn't know what I was praising God for,
mm-hmm.
but I was praising God because God heard my prayer,
right.
and and I knew it was Him giving me to intercede
yeah.
for that person to what was going on, and I saw God, you know, do it.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
as God would show you things, you can stop things from happening
mm-hmm.
by praying and interceding.
Right. So providing feedback to the intercessors on praise reports. And I'm sorry, I can't take any other questions right now because we have another speaker, but I have my card. I'll be back there in the back for you, and I can get my card, and you can call me, and you can email me, and I can get some resources for you. And I have these books back here for any pastors or prayer leaders that may want it. But let's wait to the end. Let's wait. We're not done. Wait a moment. I'm going to be here. I'll be back there. But we're going to move on to the next session, which is evangelism, which is good. And when I first came to the church, I was in evangelism ministry and prayer ministry. Evangelism, I mean, it's just so good. I mean, it's nothing like being out on the streets. And I got so involved in the prayer ministry and the times overlapped that I didn't go back out. And every year I tell Minister Bluford, I got to get back there out on the streets. I got to get back out there. But welcome, Minister Bluford, as he comes.